Buenos dias from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 16th of April, 2026. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. As you are sadly aware, we missed last week. Very, very sorry about that. This week, we will start with some briefs from the past week, then some more details in the regular show from the week before that. Again, very, very sorry. Spain finalized a migrant regularization plan that could allow for 500,000 undocumented migrants to apply for one-year legal status and work permits. A Senate probe blamed Red Eléctrica, the government, and the regulator CNMC for the 2025 blackout, saying that there had been warning signs before the collapse. Pedro Sanchez met Xi Jinping in Beijing, where both sides pledged closer ties. Spain pushed for stronger trade and diplomatic relations with China. Spain confirmed that inflation rose to 3.4% in March, mainly driven by higher fuel prices after the Middle East conflict or Trump's war on Iran. Travel bookings to Spain and Portugal rose as tourists shifted away from the Middle East and Eastern Mediterranean due to the war. Repsol regained operational control of its oil assets in Venezuela after a new agreement aimed at increasing output and securing payments. Madrid announced a new affordable rent program allowing families earning up to 90,000 euros a year to apply for public housing. Home purchases in Spain by U.S. buyers increased again in 2025, demand concentrated in high-end and coastal markets. Barcelona launched a new international peace prize worth 300,000 euros for work on non-violent conflict resolution and human rights. A flotilla of more than 70 boats and over 1,000 activists sailed from Barcelona towards Gaza to deliver aid and protest Israeli policy. A 13-year-old girl was injured by a bullet while playing sports at a school in Badajoz, and police opened an investigation. Carlos Alcaraz withdrew from the Barcelona Open due to a wrist injury on his right wrist. Atletico Madrid eliminated Barcelona from the Champions League and reached the semifinals. England beat Spain 1-0 at Wembley in Women's World Cup qualifying, putting Spain under pressure in the group. European Youth Greco-Latin Theater Festival opened in Mérida, drawing thousands of students to performances in the Roman theater. Now, a little more detail on the week before. First things somewhat first, on Monday the 8th, on Twitter, President Pedro Sanchez cautioned people against praising those responsible for escalating the U.S.-Iran war, especially after a ceasefire was announced. Writing on Elon Musk's social media, and not on Mastodon, he stressed that while the news is positive, it does not erase the destruction and loss already caused. Foreign Minister José Manuel Álvarez echoed the view, emphasizing a lasting peace requires diplomacy, negotiation, and adherence to international law. Continuing with Sanchez, on Wednesday the 8th, he faced first major corruption trial of his tenure as former Transportation Minister José Luis Ábalos appeared before the Supreme Court of Spain. The case centers on alleged corruption allegations during the COVID-19 pandemic. Ábalos, along with former advisor Koldo García and businessman Victor de Aldama, are accused by anti-corruption prosecutors of exploiting ministerial positions to favor certain companies, using public money to buy face masks from specific companies. All defendants deny the allegations and have pleaded not guilty. Trial involves multiple ministries and agencies and is an important case for the country, as Ábalos was once a very close ally of Sanchez, and the outcome is likely to have broader implications for the government's reputation and its handling of public funds. Now to a major ruling. Also on Wednesday, the country approved a constitutional reform enshrining the right to abortion nationwide, aiming to guarantee equal access regardless of region. The move reinforces existing protections established by the 2010 law and upheld by the Constitutional Court in 2023, ensuring future governments cannot easily restrict access. Ana Redondo, equality minister, said the reform addresses previous inequalities where access varied between regions due to administrative or ideological barriers. Now, all regional authorities must comply with the constitutional guarantee. Alongside the reform, 160 million euros have been allocated to combat violence against women. The measure strengthens Spain's position as a leader in reproductive rights, could influence similar debates across Europe. This week's think piece, we're looking at how political parties are adapting to social media. Great Article in El País this week breaks it down, focusing on Catalonia, where more and more political debate is happening online, particularly among younger people. What's interesting is that while politicians like Gabriel Rufián from a pro-independence party have big followers, it's often party accounts like Alianza Catalana on Instagram or Vox on TikTok that actually get the most reach. Each platform plays by different rules, meaning politicians have to loosen up and connect in more ways than just debating on TV. Social media is now one of the main sources of political information, particularly for younger audiences. But while parties are experimenting with it, engaging, is there a trade-off of virality and personality over policy? Any thoughts? Full article in Spanish in the show notes. From socials to art, on Tuesday the 7th, a dispute began between Madrid and Basque leaders over a request to temporarily move the famous artwork Guernica by Pablo Picasso from the Reina Sofia Museum to the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao for the 90th anniversary of the 1937 bombing of the Basque town. Isabel Díaz Ayuso, Madrid community leader, rejected the idea, arguing that culture is universal and that moving it could damage it. Basque nationalist leader Aitor Esteban accused her of provincialism, escalating tensions. Basque president Imanol Paradales has urged Spain's government to approve the transfer, but it's not looking likely, as art experts have warned them that relocation is risky because of the artwork's delicate condition. Continuing with culture, on Monday the 6th, El País looked at the popularity of mariachi bands in northern Spain. While it might seem like a recent trend, it is actually not that new at all. Mariachi has deep roots in regions like the Basque Country and Navarra, shaped by decades of migration to and from Mexico. Over time, these exchanges brought ranchera music back, where it has blended naturally with local traditions and festivals. What's changed is visibility. Social media, tourism, and festival culture have brought this long-standing connection back into the spotlight, making it feel new again. There are also clear musical parallels between rancheras and styles like the Navarrese jota that make the genre feel familiar. So, rather than replacing local culture, mariachi thrives alongside it. Elsewhere in politics, on Wednesday the 8th, the central government announced that Sanchez will visit China from the 11th to the 15th of April, as mentioned above, making his fourth trip there in 4 years as Spain seeks to strengthen economic and diplomatic ties, despite other European countries and the United States doing the opposite, insofar as the United States has any idea what it's trying to do. During the trip, Sanchez is scheduled to meet leader Xi Jinping, Premier Li Qiang, and senior legislator Zhao Leji. Recent state visit by King Felipe VI, first Spanish monarch in nearly two decades, also highlighted the country's strategic push for closer ties with the global giant. Other news, on Monday the 6th, news outlet BBC reported that Spain's pork industry is facing major losses after a continued outbreak of African swine fever, which is a highly contagious virus affecting pigs, but not humans. Though the outbreak remains contained in northeastern Spain, particularly around Colacerola Park, countries including Brazil, the U.S., and Japan have stopped importing from the country because of the outbreak, causing losses of around 30 to 40 euros per pig, with the sector already losing over 600 million euros. Wild boar, which spread the disease, are being culled in large numbers, with authorities using traps, drones, and strict biosecurity measures to control the outbreak. Spain's 25 billion euro pork industry, which is Europe's largest, now risks long-term damage, is regaining disease-free export status could take at least a year. While domestic demand remains stable, farmers warn that slow containment could worsen the crisis. Football news on Tuesday the 7th, the international body of football, FIFA, opened disciplinary proceedings against the Royal Spanish Football Federation following Islamophobic and xenophobic chants by fans during friendly match between Spain and Egypt and Barcelona. Despite stadium warnings displayed urging supporters to avoid offensive behavior, some fans continued chanting. Luis de la Fuente, a national coach, publicly described the incident as intolerable, while the federation also denounced the abuse. Over to Galicia in the northwest, on Wednesday the 8th, a court in Vigo upheld a homeowners association right to ban pets in shared buildings, confirming that such rules are legally enforceable if properly approved and included in community bylaws. The case involved a resident who challenged a longstanding ban after getting a dog, but the court ruled against him. The ruling highlights that the comunidades de propiedades, or shared buildings, collective rules can limit individual property rights. This is particularly important for foreign buyers and renters who must check both building bylaws and rental contracts before keeping pets. His particular case, judges found the restriction valid because it had been unanimously agreed, formally documented, and consistently applied for over a decade. They also clarified that the animal welfare law protects animals, but does not grant an automatic right to keep pets in any property. Meanwhile, on the same day, Picos de Europa National Park across Asturias, Cantabria, and Castilla y León was named the world's most beautiful place by Time Out magazine. The park, established in 1918 and part of UNESCO Biosphere Reserve, is home to diverse wildlife, including bears, wolves, and golden eagles. Popular activities include hiking routes like the Ruta de Cares, climbing, canyoning, and watching wildlife. Ending this week with a kind of bizarre story after a man in Madrid earned the nickname Spider-Man of Princesa Street after climbing the facade of his building to enter his apartment when he forgot his keys. After realizing he had left his balcony door open, he chose to scale the exterior wall to the second floor rather than call a locksmith. For a better grip, he went barefoot and carefully moved along narrow ledges, holding onto grooves in the facade while onlookers watched in disbelief. His plan succeeded thanks to a neighbor who allowed him to cross from her balcony to his, a gap of less than 3 meters. Someone filmed the unusual scene and shared it online, where it quickly went viral, drawing comparisons to the Marvel superhero Spider-Man. Despite the risk, the man luckily reached his apartment with no injuries. However, don't try this at home. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Anything to tell us? info@rorschach.com. Hasta la próxima.